Good evening, squirrels.
Good evening. How are you?
How's everybody?
What's happening, Jay?
It's all
squirrely. Did you get your car fixed?
It is in process.
Okay.
I want them to get it done soon because I really like the rental. They gave me like the next model up, so it's bigger, which mm-hmm. I like. It has a bigger engine and a real horn. So I need a train horn.
What are you driving as a rental?
I've got a Highlander. Oh. So there can be only one. I've heard that joke about 9 billion times. but I've got a RAV4, which is small. And the horn is pathetic. It's this Aww. Little...
Meep, meep.
You're in the South now. You're not supposed to honk at anybody anyway.
Oh, I do. I'm from Massachusetts, and my plate says as much. But see, the thing is, people keep hitting me and attempting to hit me. And I want something more than, excuse me. I want a train whistle. I want something that's going to make people shit their pants when I touch it.
What is it about that car that makes people want to hit it?
I mean, it makes people angry. Apparently.
Could it be the license plate? I mean, both times it was a rear ending, right?
Times I've been rear-ended. That's true. It's people like testing it.
I think they see your license plate and go, "Fuck that son of a bitch! I'm gonna hit him!" Boom,
asshole. We're gonna plow into him. We're gonna give him settlements. So I just got the text. I dropped it off on Wednesday, and I got a text like within hours that it was gonna take a week to fix. So I'm like, "Well, I get a rental. I don't care."
As long as nobody runs into the rental.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I wonder how that works. I'm like, you know, I know how that works. I don't care. It's a rental.
That's right.
Yeah, it's also like, a rental that your insurance company or somebody's insurance company is paying for. So you literally don't care.
It was funny. When I get to the rental place, they're like, would you like another SUV? I'm like, fuck, I ain't paying for it. Sure. Yeah. I'm like, you know, you got one of them Cadillac Escalades out back?
With the spinny wheels?
The Spreewells. So it's in progress, and we'll see. And, you know, I'm driving a much better car now. I'm like, oh, take your time.
Since we're talking about cars, I'm not really a car guy. I don't really, you know, I drive trucks. I've pretty much always driven a truck.
But you are a guy.
Did you just assume Alan's gender?
I did.
Except for the, I would never own this car in a million. Well, maybe if I had like a bazillion dollars, I'd buy this car. But there is a car that made me go,
Uh-oh.
Really?
Yeah.
What makes Alan go,
The wide body Hellcat.
I'm going to have to Google that, it.
The funny part is I was seriously considering the Challenger with the Hemi.
Yeah.
Before I bought the Toyota.
Wide body Hellcat. Images.
It's a big, big muscle car with an insane engine.
It sounds like Alan's type of woman.
A full bodied Hellcat. Right.
That'd work.
What color, though?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Red, of course.
Red, of course.
If I was going to buy a car, I don't know. That might do it.
It's kind of like low to the ground, like has this weird thing in the front.
Mm-hmm.
What is that weird thing in the front for?
Air dam.
What?
It's a ground effect thing.
Meaning?
It's to help airflow around the car.
Oh. While you're stuck in traffic.
Exactly.
In Houston.
While you're stuck in traffic in Houston. That's exactly right. So I mean, it is a thoroughly impractical car.
Yeah.
But.
It is cool looking,
if
though.
If I was going to buy one, I might consider that one.
I like the yellow. There's like a bright yellow one. It's cool.
Car talk with Click and Clack.
Brita just cares about what color it is.
Yeah.
What about the green? Tell me what you think about the green, Brita.
I don't see green.
You don't see? Oh, you have to look at the regular Challenger. Because, like I said, I was considering it, and then you know my wife very smartly reminded me that I had a teenage son, and I do travel a fair amount, so that you know a large overpowered muscle car sitting in the driveway collecting dust was probably not a great idea.
I do see the green; it's very nice.
And thank you. And
although I'd still go for the yellow.
I do like the yellow. I don't think they had the yellow when I was looking, because I would have totally, I probably would have gotten the Challenger, just because yellow, I like yellow a lot.
I mean, if you're going to go for that sort of car.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Go for the yellow.
It needs to be a bright color.
Yeah. See, that way people will see me before they plow into me.
Well, what I like about it, what I like about it is it's wide.
Wide. Let me guess, Alan. You like the Lamborghini Countach in the 1980s?
No, I don't actually. I never really liked that car.
Well, that car's pretty wide, so.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I was thinking. So I've always been a car nut. So, like really, it's like tied cars and guns. I'm just like I am crazy about both because I'm like that.
Since we're talking about cars, you know, Ford's coming out with the Bronco again.
Really?
And I'm afraid of what it's going to look like.
Everything I've seen, it looks
afraid because it's going to be cool because
it's going to look like it's going to look like a standard four-door SUV made by anybody.
It's an Explorer.
Right.
Which would be funny because the Bronco 2 turned into the Explorer.
I know. But they're saying this is going to be based on the Ranger chassis.
Which they phased out.
Oh, I see a picture of it.
Yeah.
I see a picture of it. It's not.
That's not. If you're looking at a picture of it, it is a. Artists,
I guess.
Nobody knows. Ford ain't saying. They haven't released what it's going to look like yet. But if it looks like one of those things like people want, which is like the big tough boxy looking thing, I would like that. But I'm afraid it's going to look like is
it's yeah.
You know, if it's going to look like the old Dodge did with the Challenger, right? They made it. Yep. New, but it has like it has the body lines that echo the past. You know, if Ford made a Bronco that had the same similarities to the old Bronco, that would be awesome. What I'm afraid we're going to get is, you know, a RAV4.
And then people will hit it.
Ford. So anyway.
As long as it has a removable roof, that's the real. I love that.
It's not going to have a removable roof.
But you know, it's funny. It's a lot like having a Jeep or a convertible. It's one of those things that sounds.
Yeah.
Yo, how awesome would it be to have a convertible? Yeah. You know, it's
for 2 days a year.
Exactly. You know, the big problem with the convertible is if it's the beautiful hot summer day, sun's out, it's too hot. You're sitting in traffic baking. You're essentially collecting melanoma while you drive. Who thought that was a good idea?
Well, it's a convertibles are Southern California cars. That's really the only place they make sense in the U.S.
Or Hawaii.
Maybe.
I could see a convertible in Hawaii.
It rains.
But yeah, you know, my wife owned a convertible when she got out of college. She had a Chrysler LeBaron. Everyone could stop laughing. But...
The convertible K car?
Yes, exactly. And do you know what we spent like the better part of 2 years doing was having the roof adjusted because it leaked.
Oh, that's annoying. Oh, yeah.
They always do.
And it's just things you don't think about unless you've owned a convertible.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, you know, the fit's not perfect, and especially Chrysler.
So they're the Frank Lloyd Wright of cars.
Yes,
exactly. Pretty much. It's not supposed to do that.
Sure, you know,
they're not supposed to have the whole top come off. You know, so it's and you know you there's not a lot of headroom, and the trunk is atrociously small, and it's, you know, for the three or four times a year you might drop the top and drive around and like, this is the coolest thing ever, you've got to put up with this little tiny shitty ass trunk for the other 362 days out of the year.
Yep.
Convertibles are great if you have a four-car garage and you can leave the convertible with the top down and the boot on in the bay and only take it out on perfect days.
Yeah, it's not practical.
It's way better to have a sunroof. I use my sunroof like every day.
Yeah, I use mine a lot too.
It's awesome. I mean, until it gets so cold that I'm turning the heat on, and even then, sometimes I'll turn the heated seat on high and open the sunroof.
Actually, the sunroof is actually handy in the summer because, like, when you get in the hot car, I'll open the windows and open the sunroof, and it's instantly 20 degrees cooler.
Yep, because the heat rises right out of the sunroof. Yeah. It's very convenient that way.
Yeah, it just whooshes right out. So,
one thing I loved when I had my Dodge was I would have loved the Dodge to have had a sunroof because it also had a power rear slider.
Yeah, those are nice.
That's practically a convertible.
Yeah.
And okay, before Brita dies of boredom, let's segue to something, anything other than cars.
Well, do you want to dive into?
Do we want to? Oh,
who's an Indian? Or do you want to start light? Let's start light before we dive into.
Is there anything else we'd like to get?
Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi.
That's not light.
Let's talk about Nancy. Well, we won't spend much time on it. Nancy Pelosi and her comment that if there's some collateral damage for some others then that don't share our view, well, so be it.
First of all, I want to see how they're going to spin this. Oh, well, she didn't mean it that way. She meant like politically. She didn't mean it like physical.
Dude, you know, when they go low, kick them, you know.
Mm. And
Eric.
And,
older.
And
are
yet,
you?
I see Democrats trying to argue all the time that, well, no Democrat advocates violence. That's just ridiculous.
Except most of them.
Except,
well, they don't overtly say go out and, you know, they don't overtly give directives to their.
Except when they do. Except when you got, what's her name? Who's the. God damn it. Maxine Waters going, you know, go out there and harass the shit out of them.
Well, there's, yeah.
Or the woman who's running for governor of Georgia, who's like, we're going to have all the illegals voting for us. Like, lady, you can't say that. You're going to do it. We know, but you can't say it.
I think they just think it's okay. I think she doesn't understand that you don't say it because that's not what we do in this country.
It's illegal. You're advocating people break the law.
Well, yeah.
Well.
And there was just recently the guy who, what was the Soros guy who just got fired because he beat the shit out of somebody or pushed somebody or something.
Keith Ellison?
No.
Ooh.
Boom.
But you know.
Yeah, I can't find it anymore.
Brett, there was Ben Kavanaugh might have, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I read something. Okay, yeah, I wasn't crazy. I saw a headline today that Senator Tim Kaine is recommending that we've got to go fight in the streets.
Yeah.
Tim Kaine, mind you, was the vice presidential candidate under Hillary.
Yes.
He's also a senator. Yay me.
Right. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're saying it. They're saying it, and nobody's calling him on it. Imagine if a Republican said, we've got to go fight in the streets. Imagine the media after that.
Yeah. Well, they mean figuratively, we're going to fight for you. And, you know, it's all cover. And, you know, I mean, when it comes down to it, this is the side that doesn't know which bathroom to use.
Right.
Well, I'm less concerned than if it were the other side saying, let's fight in the streets. Which, of course, Which, of course, sorry, I got snuck up on. Apparently, I went in situation white in my office. It's terrible. Or condition white, I should say. Imagine any Republican candidate saying we're going to fight in the streets. And then imagine the headlines on that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says, Tim Kaine said, what we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets, fight online, fight at the ballot box, and now there's momentum to be able to do this. And I want to just put it out there that, you know, these people who are prone to be out there fighting in the streets, they're not really into kind of like, oh, that was just a figure of speech. Nope. It's not like they're subtle people. It's not like they're, you know, intellectuals like, oh, you know, he really meant blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. They go out there and they're beating people up in the streets.
Yeah. Yeah. And look who it is, too. The last one I saw, it was some like 80-year-old dude in a Trump hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the problem, is that these people go out and they attack people who are defenseless. And...
Well, they're not going to attack people that can fight back. Good Lord.
Well, I think that's what it comes down to at a certain point. And it's frightening. I try to make a point not to put myself in those sorts of like crazy situations, but there are people who are,
you can be sitting at a restaurant or walking down the street and suddenly be in that kind of situation because they'll find you.
Yep, but I don't wear like a Make America Great Again hat or,
No, but they come to, I don't know, where I work. Now, they're not entirely stupid. They don't actually confront anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would probably not end well.
Right.
That'd be funny.
And by not end well, I mean they would be arrested because there's a heavy police presence.
You know what? And it would probably become a statistic of workplace violence.
I'm trying to remember if we had it in the school report Facebook group. But there was a beautiful, beautiful video of some little, Antifa wannabe going to sucker punch some guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I know what I'm
yes.
talking about.
Yeah.
And there's yes. this absolute mountain of a dude who just catches him, has his fist, pushes him away, and just does the Dike Mutombo, the finger wag.
Yeah. Yes, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was just.
And what was funny is he was completely nonchalant. It was like, you see the guy caught back to sucker punch the other guy, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this big meaty hand just and it's like it was like hitting a brick wall. I mean, the guy's hand didn't move an inch backwards.
And
he just pushes the guy
there. It is
like it was.
Brita just shared it.
Oh yeah,
it is.
It just made me laugh because I don't know. I mean, the kid throwing the punch, he's like this little skater dude, and he's throwing a punch and they were like street preacher people. Like, they're preaching the word of Jesus on the street. And these little skater dudes apparently came up and wanted to debate and wanted to fight them. And one guy tried to throw a punch. And this big burly Jesus guy actually catches this little twerp's fist in his hand.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he points at him like, and he literally looked like he was laughing at him. Like, seriously, dude, like you're going to try this?
And he's like, he literally saved that kid's life because the dude he was about to sucker punch is easily three times his size.
Yeah.
This kid would have been stomped into pudding. I mean, I'm looking at his arms. He's like David Hogg tiny.
I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he was high.
He was thinking, I'm going to sucker punch him. I'm like, you might have made contact and you might have mildly annoyed him. And then he would have ripped your head off and shit down your neck.
Yeah, it was a good video. But that's how it is. Like they're relying on sucker punches and
bike locks. because they
and,
won't.
Yeah, and you know, 80-year-old men and women, and you know, it's.
And every once in a while, they pick the wrong one, and it provides for much hilarity. Yeah, when you see these little punks getting owned.
That's the thing, though. You know, it's like you've got all these Democrats that are calling for violence in the streets, and then, you know, it's like it's one of those be careful what you wish for situations, because you know, it's like when the you know, it's like the laws protect you from me. Yeah. They don't protect me from you. They
we're about to see
that.
you don't understand. You're locked in here with me.
Exactly. Right.
Throw the great quote from The Watchmen.
Yeah.
But yes, okay. I'm a geek. I'll admit it. But you know what's like? Anytime you hear like, you know, some like rabid Antifa going, "You're just lucky. There's the purge isn't real." It's like, oh, sit down, Waldo. You guys would last a tenth of a second if the purge were real.
Yeah.
My God, the purge were real. Shut up.
Well, who made that movie? Was that not only that? Not only that. Guess what happens when they find, you know, if they were to get their socialist utopia?
Yeah.
Guess who's the first against the wall?
Right.
The troublemakers like them.
Yeah.
The useful idiots.
Yeah, because if they can turn on one group, they can turn on another.
Exactly.
The powers that be don't want that.
The people that are productive do not get eliminated.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because you wonder how much of this is they keep hoping for the reaction. They keep hoping for that one time where he goes to sucker punch and the dude starts beating the crap out of him. And then, bam, that's on national TV.
Then it's, you know, right-wing violence.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It was a lot like in the 2016 election. There'd be a Trump rally.
Right.
Antifa would show up, start shit.
Right.
And the headlines the next day were all universally violence erupts at Trump rally.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we saw that with the Tea Party.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Except they had the hardest time covering those because the Tea Party would show up, they'd hold a rally, and the place would be cleaner when they got through.
Yeah,
they're like, they not only policed their own trash, they cleaned up some other trash that was here. What the heck? Worst protesters ever. They're not lighting stuff on fire. They're actually putting fires out and sweeping up the ashes. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Well, the other funny one was the McCaskill thing, where McCaskill, McCaskill and some of her campaign people were recorded by Veritas saying things like, you know, oh, well, we can't tell the truth to our voters. You know,
and when we have a veto proof majority, I'm like, oh, it's so sad.
So now when
Jakob Kurzfeld goes critical.
So the first reaction from McCaskill was that, well, that's just that deny, you know, she just denied the whole thing. Well, that didn't happen. And then she tried claiming that the video was like faked or something like that. Now she's claiming there's been fraud committed against my campaign, and she's demanding an investigation.
Hey, you know, when you're cornered, go on the attack.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. They keep, you know, they were talking about, you know, the blue wave and the, you know, how the 2016, the Democrats were going to take back everything, and you know, Beto was going to win the Senate in Texas, you know, and they're pouring, you know, what was it? $34 million this month.
Yeah, 30 something
into the Beto campaign. The dude has a chance in hell of winning. I mean, to any Democrats,
does he not? Like, no. Literally no chance.
No chance in hell.
No, this is on the ground. This is Alan on the ground.
No chance in hell of winning. I mean, unless Ted Cruz is found with a, what is it, a dead hooker or a live boy?
Yeah, a dead girl or a live boy.
You know, I mean,
That would be Rafael Cruz, mind you.
Yeah.
He goes by his more Americanized name as opposed to this.
The polls are already admitting a double digit lead that Cruz has, and it may be more. I mean, you can't win in Texas. You cannot win a statewide election in Texas running on gun control, open borders, and free abortions for everyone. You just can't. I'm sorry, Democrats. You know, you tried that with what's her name in the governor's race, and it failed miserably. And now you're trying it in a Senate race, and it fails miserably. You cannot win in Texas on that platform. It's impossible. It might play in Austin, and it might play in downtown Houston, and it might play in Dallas, but it's not enough. Sorry.
Whoever
donated that money, you know, and what I'd love to see the accounting for that, that campaign. Because I guarantee you he's keeping some of that cash.
Oh, he's funneling it right into his political action committee, and he's going to either run for governor,
or he'll use it for his own reelection campaign in Congress. I mean, he's already, you know, there's already been some Democrats in other races. They're like, hey man, share some of that. And he's like, nope.
Why don't you help somebody who's in what was the word?
At risk.
Competitive.
Yeah, an actual competitive race.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm good. I'll keep it. Yeah. Right. No, he's hoping that maybe 2020, maybe 2024, he can be a VP.
That's exactly what he's trying for.
That's what he's get his profile high enough. He'll be someone's VP pick. He spends 8 years as VP, and then boom, he's President Beto.
Yep. Ain't going to happen. But, you know, he can dream. And meanwhile, all those millions of dollars that will go to the Beto campaign won't go, as Jay says, to an actual competitive campaign.
Right. Which, you know, just makes me so sad. Not really.
I mean, I knock on wood, I'm here. I'm seeing stuff that says that the Republicans might actually pick up a Senate seat instead of losing.
Well, it will definitely be interesting to see. You know,
what's that race in Tennessee that's really close?
Oh my gosh! Now I have to. Now I gotta go look. Right there.
You know, do your homework.
Breedson over Blackburn. They're deadlocked. And Blackburn's the
Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah. Breedson's been had some really bad, you know, he voted against Kavanaugh, and you know, he's had some really bad, you know, he's the one that claimed, isn't he the one that claimed he had an A rating from the NRA? And he actually has an F.
D, I think.
D.
If that's the one I'm thinking of.
Whatever. So anyway,
the Democrat is the guy, yes, and his challenger is a Republican, and they're separated by 1%,
right? Very, and that, but that's in the public polling, so you know, get right. You know, plus five, because you know, for the
that's exactly it, and that's the whole thing. It's you know, they're like, oh, they're definite. This is definitely going to happen. Definitely going to do this. Definitely going to. You mean like Hillary Clinton had a 98% chance of winning?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, again, you spend all of your time talking about how the right's a bunch of Nazis and they're awful people and only a Nazi would vote for a Republican. Who are you voting for in this election? I mean, really? That's you know, that's how you're going to phrase this. Well, I'm going to be like, none ya. Who? None ya business.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but, I mean, you can get into the science of polling, but the reality is they call people on the phone during the day to ask them these questions. Who sits at home during the day?
Old people.
Old people and unemployed people. So.
Angry loners, the unemployable.
you're, I mean, so, you know, it's no wonder the polling skews toward Democrats. I mean,
people in overabundance of free time.
Okay, can we talk about folk?
Oh, okay, now? Yeah, I think we have to. We
well, I'd like to say that you know, the Beto thing and the Pocahontas thing kind of ties together.
Yes, they do.
Because you know, this week has taught us certain things. You know, it's, you know, Beto is Hispanic, Elizabeth Warren is Indian, but Kanye is not black.
Right.
Yes.
And
yes.
And Ted Cruz is not Hispanic.
Right. Not Hispanic.
Right.
The whole thing, it's when you, I mean, the Democrats have for quite some time now they've kind of based their entire platform on identity politics.
Yep.
And this is what happens.
So it bites you in the ass sometimes.
Yeah, it becomes like this ridiculous, kind of bizarre. You have white people trying to be not white, and then you have like, well, you're not black enough, and then like the whole thing is so strange. It's so strange. And if I wish everybody would step back and look at it and be like, wait a minute. What are you people talking about? It's so bizarre.
And you got men claiming to be women and winning bicycle races.
Yes, that too.
That cracks me up.
I don't get it.
And then at the same time, they're all like, just be yourself.
Well, the thing that gets me the most, the single thing that gets me the most with the whole Elizabeth Warren thing is that she commissioned this. She handpicked the person who was going to do the testing. Handpicked them. This wasn't she sent in a 23andMe swab, you know, or any of the online or
she might have been better off doing that.
And the 23andMe. Here's the thing. It comes back with this lady, you are whiter than Wonder Bread in a snowstorm being eaten by a polar bear.
Right.
And nobody connected with this went, maybe we should keep this quiet. Maybe we should pretend. No, thank old full throttle. Look, see, incontrovertible proof that Elizabeth Warren has Native American ancestry. Boston Globe is like strong evidence. And look at this. It's 6 to 10 generations. And you stop and you're like, look, I know these tests. They're not powerful to resolve below 1%.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 1,024 is 0.09%. You're in the background.
Yeah.
Literally. Mm-hmm. Shit lying on your fucking counter is going to come up with that much Native American content.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody, there's this popular myth that you know, the DNA test is definitive, and you know, you see it on, you know, CSI all the time. Oh, the DNA, proves it. DNA doesn't. The DNA tests don't actually work like that.
They're not goddamn genome here. You know, they're looking for common biomarkers. That's what they're doing.
Right.
You know, somebody pointed out that, you know, yet we share like over 3/4 of our DNA with chimps.
98%.
Yeah, it's like you're way more chimp than you are Native American, lady. You
know? Yeah. 98% of our DNA is the same as a chimpanzee. So, you know, it's ridiculous. And by the time you get down into that small of a percentage, what you're testing for falls below the I guess the resolving
margin
power
of error.
Yeah, the resolving power of the test.
Exactly.
It is nothing. It doesn't.
Right.
You'd throw that out if you were doing a science experiment. It wouldn't count. You wouldn't. It'd be nothing. It'd be on the floor. You'd ignore it because it's nothing.
And you know, I don't think that this, I really think that this was, they're so ignorant of math and science and how everything works that it was like, well, we got a result that proves that she's Native American.
And they had the blinders on. They were determined. We're going to prove Trump was wrong. And what look, did they nanny, nanny, boo, boo, look, we proved it.
Yeah. And how did they spin it? It was Trump's not honoring his bet. Like, are you kidding me? Now, again, I like the people who said Trump should pay up. He should pay 1/1024th.
Right.
I just
And the DNA that they tested her against is not Nate. And I thought this was really interesting, actually, because I didn't realize this, but most of the tribal leaders have said to their people, don't give your DNA to these people. Do not be a test subject. And so consequently, they have very little Native American DNA to test and use as like the standard, like, are you Native American for these DNA tests. So they don't have much to compare, like, say, Elizabeth Warren's DNA to. So what they used was like Peruvian, Colombian, South American type people. Their DNA.
Right.
So Elizabeth Warren, okay, she might be like 1/1000th Peruvian for all we know.
But here's the thing. When they're doing these kind of tests, what they're doing is they're matching, as Jay said before, they're matching markers against populations.
Right.
So because you have a DNA marker that matches another DNA marker in another population does not mean that you're in any way related to that population. It just means that you had a common ancestor someplace. And guess who everyone's common ancestor was?
Jesus.
No. But, you know,
Northern
African, you know, early humans. I mean, every population on Earth has genetic markers that match somebody else because we're that closely related. So, plus, you got to remember, Elizabeth Warren's claim to being, you know, Indian didn't come from, you know, DNA or anything like that. She swore up and down it was her mother.
Well, and that's the other thing. That's the other thing.
Because her mother was so Indian that her parents had to elope.
Yes. Yes. And then they're with a complete, you know, it's, again, we get back to Ann Coulter. For liberals, history began this morning. Like, fully pretending that she's never told that story, that it's not on video, it's not on YouTube as we speak, being promulgated on Facebook. That
is that bizarre. You know,
my parents had to elope because my mother was Cherokee and they didn't approve of the marriage. Like, this blatant lie. Right. And the leftist response is, well, she didn't benefit from, like, really? There's I posted a huge long list of ways, she didn't specifically check the boxes. No, but Harvard ran with it and was claiming to have a Native American on staff
for years,
specifically referring to her.
Yep.
You know, and she was going along with this, that her mom was so Cherokee, yes, from 10 generations previous. She, remember, her mom was 1/512th Native American.
Which is funny. Somebody did the math and said, 10 generations back, it probably was Pocahontas.
Literally. But yeah, that my favorite is Pocahonky, but I'll just leave that.
Pocahonky. Oh no.
It's okay. We can say honky people because we are.
That's right. That's right. That is. Yeah, it's just funny. You start to see this pattern. You know, with Me Too, it was, you know, the rape culture and it's horrible. And then you had, you know, who got caught? Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
People who are not affiliated with the right side of the political spectrum in any way, shape, or form. And then it was cultural appropriation. And we have Rachel Dolezal,
Beto Elizabeth O'Rourke.
Warren, Beto, you know, Bobby O'Rourke. because the Republicans don't do it because the media would be up their ass with a microscope. You know, if let me just, you know, pull a name out. If Scott Brown were to say, you know, I've heard that my family has Native American ancestry, the Globe would have savaged him for weeks.
Oh my gosh. They would have like had genealogical experts and be running his genealogy and tracking his ancestors. And my God, it'd be all over the news.
Yep.
It would have been, how can,
you know, that's the other funny thing, Brita, because, you know, you know, they do all this research on people they don't like, and they do no research at all on people they do like. So this whole Elizabeth Warren thing, I did a DNA test and I have, you know, it's not like somebody who really gave a shit couldn't go back and research her genealogy. These are public records.
Well, here's the thing. The Cherokee Nation did.
Yeah. And what did they say?
Her genealogy. They said they found no trace of Elizabeth Warren anywhere in their...
Exactly.
Yeah. Going back to when records were available.
Not only that, but they said her claim based on DNA was I forget the exact way the chief said it, but basically he was offended that she would use DNA to try to prove that she was part Native American. He was literally offended by it. I mean, for good reason, because, you know, it's, you know,
well, it's the same thing as like men who all of a sudden are calling them, you know, telling everyone that they're women. They're identifying as women, right?
Right.
And the problem that a lot of women have with men who identify as women is that you did not have the life experience growing up as a woman. And there's all sorts of ways of being a woman. You can have really masculine women, butch women. You can have lesbians. You can have really feminine women. You know, women, it's not just there's one type of woman. But growing up as a girl to a woman is a certain experience in life. And men do not have that. You have your own thing, right? And I think a big part of this cultural appropriation thing, especially in Elizabeth Warren's case, is that I think the Cherokee Nation and probably all other tribal nations are saying you may have DNA somewhere hundreds of years ago in your genetic code, but you have no experience as a Native person.
Right.
And I think that counts for a lot, you know, and, you know, it's not like I'm siding with some sort of like, you know, identity politics thing, but I think that sort of thing, I think it counts for a lot. You can't just claim to be such and such.
She only reaped the benefits.
Yeah. And I think that is a huge issue. And I think that it's because of the identity politics on the left, you get this sort of thing where if it's profitable to be some sort of like victim group or minority group, you're going to have people claiming to be these groups just to reap the benefits of them. So, and that's, you know, that's where you're, I can't talk about, you know, men who identify as women. I don't know what they're getting out of that, but you know, I think it's kind of the same thing. You don't have the experience. You don't have the life experience. You can't just wake up one day and say, I'm a woman. You can't, because you're not.
Well,
you may feel feminine. You may be a dude that feels really feminine and wants to wear dresses and put on makeup, and that's fine, but you're still a dude.
That just makes you a cross-dresser.
Whatever. Whatever it is.
You're not a woman.
But I think that this whole transsexual thing has now become another political identity group, you know?
Well, it's also a way for guys that couldn't win at their particular sport to win it as a, quote, woman.
Do you think men are going that far?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, come on. Are you kidding
Well,
me?
I don't know.
Yes. Why else would you do it? At yes. any... Why else would you do it?
I don't know. There's a certain psychology involved that I just don't understand. So,
who's the woman that does the like the NRA spokesperson? Dark
Dana.
Hair?
Dana Lash.
Yeah, and she's the one that had the white privilege quote about Warren. Said she didn't. She didn't believe white privilege was a thing until until she saw Elizabeth Warren get away with or what? No, it saw the Boston Globe. I forget her. God, I need to
have your tabs open, Alan.
You need Ginkgo biloba, Alan.
He needs to have his tabs open.
They say the memory is the second thing to go.
I didn't. Oh yeah, here it is. I didn't think white privilege existed until I watched Elizabeth Warren given a pass for appropriating a culture.
Yeah.
Not only given a pass, but now the media is like, the media is like outright disagreeing with the Cherokee Nation for their statement. They're like, oh, you don't know anything, Cherokee people. You don't know anything. How dare you talk to, you know, our Elizabeth Warren like that?
Yeah. Screw what? You. Screw you, Cherokee Indians. You don't know anything. You don't know who you are.
And just coming
it's bizarre.
Out. Like I said, the Globe with this strong evidence. Again, nobody at the Globe said, whoa, time out. 1/1024th? Do
oh,
we?
They got the math wrong, even.
Yeah, well, you're being charitable saying they got it wrong. They lied.
Yeah, they lied.
They lied.
They lied to make it look better than it was.
Right. And then when it came out that, like, you know, because right here, when Elizabeth Warren's like, oh, right here, it's such an infinitesimally small number that nobody in this entire chain of events said, whoa. You know, nobody pushed the giant red spot button to say,
well, you know,
maybe
there's the new math.
Apparently.
It's the
why
new
would
math.
They change math? Nobody, at no point did anybody say, this number's really, really small. We don't want a really, really small number, do we?
I don't think they knew it was a really strong, small number.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, but it's 1,000. 1,000's big number. It's a good thing. You know, you just wonder. Or was it one of those, the emperor's new suit, that nobody wanted to be the guy to say, excuse me, that's a tiny fucking number. Are you insane? You want to come out with this as a news thing to say, I'm a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage, possibly American Indian. And it's not really American Indian. It's indigenous people to South America who are kind of like Indians, but kind of not.
But listen to this quote. This is Elizabeth Warren on Twitter on October 15th.
Okay.
And just listen to the complete tone-deaf lunacy that's involved in this statement. I won't sit quietly for at real Donald Trump's racism. She had to put the link in there so he'd see it. She couldn't just say Donald Trump. So I took a test. But DNA and family history has nothing to do with tribal affiliation or citizenship, which is determined only by tribal nations. I respect the distinction and don't list myself as native in the Senate.
In the Senate. But in every other instance in her life.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the cookbook?
Oh, yeah, the Pow Wow Chow cookbook where she plagiarized somebody else's recipe and called herself a Cherokee.
Yeah, her name said Elizabeth, some sort of recipe, and then Elizabeth Warren, Cherokee.
Yep.
You can't do that.
And again, you know, it's that same, you know, well, she didn't. You see, Harvard put it up there.
Yeah, but Harvard.
So she didn't do it.
Harvard wouldn't have known to do that unless she told them.
Right. Exactly.
They just invented it, you know.
And she could have said, no, please don't put put that there.
Yeah. Right.
But she, you know, she ran with it. Oh, sure. It makes me special. You know what? We have, can I just tell a library story?
Yes. Sure. Always you can tell a library story.
There is this woman, and she has been coming to the library since probably as long as I have been there. And she is a skinny little white woman. And kind of crazy, kind of problematic sometimes. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, well, she's off her meds today, you know, and she'll like give you a hard time or start screaming at you about something or, okay, Tig.
Supper time.
It is supper time. And, drink.
Hey, it's Tig.
That's a house tiger.
Yeah.
Yes. He has a little roar.
Listen to him roar. Yeah.
Okay. We know. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Go tell your father.
It's very good to hear him.
I know, isn't it?
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx anything by saying anything, but like, Tig is—he's having a lot of good days. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, so we have this woman, and we'll call her D. Logan because her name's D. Logan, but she thinks she's Native American. She's one of those like, yeah, Tig. She's one of those people who she wears a T-shirt. If you have one drop of Native blood, it means you're Native. Kind of, you know, she wears a T-shirt like that, and she has her hair in braids, and she's like this tiny little skinny little white woman, and she. She's obsessed with, like, you know, the environment and liberal politics. But she goes to all the powwows. Okay, Tig, go tell your dad. Go tell daddy. He's upstairs. She goes to all the powwows in the area. And she went to that pipeline protest.
Oh, that one where they left all the trash and
with all the trash was, and all
and
that
it was
stuff,
a, like an environmental super fun site when they were done with it.
Yes. She went to that protest and she calls up all the time looking for the next powwow in the area. And so I have to, you know, I'm very familiar with powwow.com or whatever the fuck it is. And she told me one time that she was bringing a friend of hers in and he was Native too. And she brought him in like another time and he was like this black dude. I'm like, is anybody, you know, I understand that you can mix and everything, but yeah. Elizabeth Warren just kind of reminds me of like kind of a more upper class. Mike calls her white buffalo woman.
I think there was a somebody in Facebook that we know.
I don't know
if I want to say his name on the air because, you know, whatever.
Okay, don't.
Anyway, he posted, he goes, a timeline, 2014 to 2017, liberals shriek, scream, and protest about protecting Native Americans over using images and names for sports teams, as well as protesting oil pipelines near their land. 2018, screw you, Indians.
We've got Elizabeth Warren. Yeah.
Yep.
And somebody else goes.
MSNBC has come out. They have one of their talking heads coming out saying that the statement put out by the Cherokee Nation is problematic.
Yeah. And some guy says, I've never seen more white Democrats hating on Native Americans since Andrew Jackson was president.
Wow. That's great.
Well, yeah, it's interesting.
Oh, my God.
We actually have a family member who fancies themselves to be Brazilian.
Okay.
Even though there's literally no chance.
Hmm.
And everyone just humors this person. And going
Brazilian to seems like a unique choice.
I don't know what it is. I'm going so far as this person has married a Brazilian spouse and raising their child to be Brazilian. And it's no coincidence that this person is known as crazy person's name. Just saying,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Did they go get a Brazilian wax one day and decide think that made them Brazilian?
Maybe they owned a Taurus. I don't know, but it's just this really unhealthy obsession, and it kind of in the focus. And you, I don't think that's what happened with Elizabeth Warren, but you never know. You know, it's like
I think she was like this Rachel Donezal. She used it as a way to get ahead.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, again, I posted that long list of Harvard repeatedly reporting her as Indian. Yeah. Now, you don't have that happen for years and years and years and not know about it and not tacitly approve.
Of course she knew about it.
Where was the 92... She listed herself for 7 years as a minority in a legal directory used by law recruiters.
Wow.
She continued herself until 95, the year she took a permanent position in Harvard. So she listed herself as a minority. A year later in 96.
That's a good way to get hired.
Yeah. Sure. Woman and a minority? That's a twofer.
Yeah.
Yep. And then she got hired by Harvard, who described her as Native American.
Their first Native American faculty member law school.
Their first woman of color.
Yeah. Not just Native American, but woman of color. Which is funny because she has no color.
1998.
Wow. What was the one that compared her to Ivory Soap?
Except Ivory Soap is more Cherokee than Elizabeth Warren.
What? Yeah, that's Elizabeth Warren is more purely white than Ivory Soap.
Yeah. So.
You know, but it's so weird that they, you know, that she would do something like that and think that was the right move. You know, she's so, I don't know, divorced from reality, or, you know, it's like you were saying earlier. It's like, was there nobody in her group or campaign or office or anything that was like, hey, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we want to just cover this up and just ignore it.
Let's just pretend this didn't happen. Let's pretend.
Well, I think they were counting on the media though. On a certain level, they were counting on the media to cover for them.
Yeah. They probably were.
I think it's one of those, if I could buy that, if it came back, there was 3%. You know, if there were a number greater than one, but still small, okay. You put that out, you're like, yeah, we're not saying that her parents or grandparents were Indian. We're saying that somewhere in the, you know, the recent family history.
Except that she said that her mother was so Indian that her racist parents
I wonder why her parents really eloped.
If they did.
Did they? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we can believe
anything. I'm just saying, most of the time people eloped at that stage for one reason. And if, I'm just wondering if anybody has looked at the dates of when she and her siblings were born compared to when her parents got married. Just saying.
Born 3 months premature at 9.
Yeah. 6. Just saying.
Apparently that happened a lot back then.
Yeah, of course it did.
Yeah. You know, it again, when you look at Elizabeth Warren, you like, how on earth did this person think that they were American Indian?
Well, you know, you can be mixed and have things pop up. You know, you see black people with blonde hair And they're still black. And, you know, it's just because the stray gene popped out and, you know, weird shit happens with genetics. You know, you've sets of twins where one is white and one is black and both parents are mixed, you know.
She makes you look dark, Brita. I mean, you know, I know. This is like, she's, you know, and blonde hair, blue eyes, you know.
My cheekbones are higher than hers are.
She wouldn't be able to pass herself off.
Elizabeth Warren has blue eyes. I never looked that closely at her. Well,
yes.
Okay, so that proves she has no Native American blood in her at all.
Not true.
Well, blue eyes are recessive.
Yeah, but she could have two recessive, you know, great grandparents or something, and it could pop out. It could happen. Mm. Genetics are weird.
It's not that. It's just, you know, it's.
Well, it's like the audacity of looking like that and saying I'm an Indian.
Yeah.
Then expecting people to be, you know, believe it or something.
Well, she might have believed it.
I'm sure she did. I'm sure, like I said, she's probably like D. Logan, where some grandma somewhere back. Oh, we had an Indian princess as our great great grandmother.
Yeah. Right.
And you're you know, and everybody has those stories in their family where you can't prove anything, but you have this like little like specialness inside of you, you know, and you kind of carry it around. Ooh, you know. But most people grow out of that.
Elizabeth Warren is so white that the Nazis would have accepted her with no questions asked.
Wow.
True.
If they had DNA tests back in the late 30s.
Oh, God.
It's like whiter than your average person of European descent.
Yeah.
She's in.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, things like our family history, you know, we're somehow related to Garibaldi of the red shirts, or the brown shirts, I'm sorry, wrong color. You know, I'm not putting that down on my LinkedIn profile. I'm not, you know, directly related. You know, it's like, yeah, I heard it. It's kind of cool, but I'm not including it in my professional bio.
No.
You know, I had an uncle who played a role in developing the character of the Pillsbury Doughboy, you know, but that's something I've heard like fourth hand. I have no idea if it's true. We had family out in Minnesota. That's as close as I get. For General Mills. I think that's General Mills. Now I got to look it up.
Cornflakes.
Yeah.
Cornflakes is Battle Creek, Michigan.
Oh, whatever.
I know this because I was in the factory.
Pillsbury is Minneapolis. That's actually where Uncle Joe was. But
the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I mean, it could very well be that that part of the family settled in Minneapolis, and somebody's like, he's probably heavy. They're like, yeah, he's the inspiration for the Pillsbury Doughboy, and that's probably as far as it went. But I mean, stuff happens like that. Yeah. Family history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It happens. Somebody says something or somebody whispers something to a little kid, you know, as a joke, as a bedtime story. I mean, for any number of reasons. I totally get that. And some things are romantic. You want to believe it's true. I get that.
But you don't base your whole, like,
self
on it.
And
To claim minority status when you are so clearly not a minority.
Right.
Is like the whole, like Brita was saying, about these men that suddenly claim they're women without the experience of being women. Warren has no idea what it means to be a minority anywhere.
Right.
No.
Right.
None whatsoever.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, it's like, you know, if I, in the middle of the summer, started referring to myself as Jose, you know, when I've had a whole summer's worth of tanning, you might be like,
we'd stop you at the border.
Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, I might get deported. But yeah, there's at least like, okay, well, you know, kind of dark hair. Well, not dark hair, but dark eye, you know, brown eyes, and you know,
you do not
maybe it's plausible.
Nope.
I started telling everyone I was a Viking, people would be like, gee, I don't know, Jay, you really don't look like a Viking. You know, if Brita started telling everyone she was Samoan, they'd be like, I don't think so.
Well, you know.
Colin?
Yeah.
I bet, Brita, you need to do the genetic test. I bet. Yeah. I bet.
Brita, more Samoan than Elizabeth Warren, is it?
Brita has more Native American in her than Elizabeth Warren does. That's my bet.
Pay for the test. I'll do it.
I'll pay for it.
All right.
Absolutely. I'd like to see what that comes out as. We'll do it for the show.
Do it for the show. There we go. There's your squirrel dollars hard at work, folks.
I will spit in the tube for the good of the show.
Yay. All right. Done deal. Free? We'll do it.
I think we're done.
Yeah.
She's hello?
We only talked half the time about Granny Warren.
I held off as long as I could because I knew that's all we'd talk about.
Yeah, it would have hijacked. Yeah. You got to play the game though. Imagine if Sarah Palin had claimed to be part American Eskimo.
Oh yeah.
Imagine
her husband is, though.
They would have dispatched 1,000 reporters to Alaska to dig through her genealogy to prove
her husband is though.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Her husband is.
Doesn't
well,
matter.
I'm just saying. I think they went through this when she was like a candidate. I think they went through this where they actually looked into Todd's background and his genealogy to prove that yes, he was, you know, part Eskimo or whatever. Yeah.
You know, again. You come down to the point where it's like, look, you know they're going to be biased, so just live with it, work around
yeah.
it, you know. And I'm very reluctant to say anything because there's still 3 weeks away, and there's still plenty of time for the stupid party to be stupid. They have restrained themselves admirably, so, and that's all I'm going to say.
I thought
I just want to give props to Lindsey Graham again.
Lindsey Graham.
What the hell, Lindsey Graham?
For continuing being awesome.
And what was his name? Cassidy?
Yes, Cassidy.
Looked at the kids and said, kids, your parents are using you as a tool. That's wrong. And if you're falsely accused, you have the right to be presumed innocent. I mean, it was just, damn.
Yeah.
He didn't bovel. He didn't backtrack. Yeah. He just head on. And what happened? That gotcha moment turned into a, oh shit!
Somebody's been spiking the Republicans' water with backbone or something.
Apparently, they've all been eating their spinach.
Yeah,
kids, ask your parents.
Oh man!
And doing it in a non-stupid way. It's just, you know, Lindsey Graham. I almost wonder if that's genuine.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
You know,
Mike is convinced like he's a pod person, and the real Lindsey Graham.
I think it was McCain dying that set him off.
What?
It set him.
You know how Lindsey Graham and McCain were like, you know, like tight or something.
Yeah,
and I think now that he's not under the McCain influence, he's being himself or something.
Oh my God, I'm such a dork. I'm like, he's Theoden, wants worm tongue left. Such a dork.
Jesus Christ, Jay.
Jay, you win.
I'm like, oh my
wow.
God.
Wow.
Cloud has been lifted. Yep. Yep. Threw down the big dork card. Yep.
Yeah, you win that one.
You
buddy.
Are definitely the biggest dork on the show.
No.
Oh,
no. You were the biggest dork. I think the biggest loser, but nicer, kind of.
Yeah, it's all right. We like dorks.
Good thing we like dorks, yeah.
It popped into my head. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I just thought that. And of course I have to say it.
Of course.
Just like Theoden.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I don't think we're going to out-nerd that tonight, so.
No. Thanks for a good show.
Awesome show. And you know, let me speak from Elizabeth Warren's people when I say how. No. Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
How?
Well, again, I'm more Native American than Elizabeth Warren, so. Which is interesting because, well, we're from Italy, so.
You never know.
Apparently, like, Columbus had a thing. I don't know.
People travel, Jay. You don't know.
That's it. That's it. It's Columbus when he was over here.
That could be, actually.
So maybe that's it. I'll tell my kids we're related to Christopher Columbus.
There you go.
Hey, that Kusama thing?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Cleveland Museum said that they had the largest attendance ever?
In the that does not surprise history? Me. Does not surprise me at all.
I'm not surprised either. That was crazy. Anyway.
Wild. Although it was so well managed, that exhibit was so well managed, it never felt crowded.
Yeah, it didn't feel crowded. They did a good job. Good for them.
You know, I wanted to mention at the end of the show, I haven't talked food in a while, but I made chili tonight, Jay.
Oh.
And it was a white chicken chili.
Oh, it's a bold.
You know why it's called chili?
Because you were cold?
No.
Dad joke!
Because there's beans in it.
Poor Alan. He has to deal with all of us.
He did that on purpose.
It was delicious, and it was very good chili.
If it doesn't have... Did it have any kind of chilies in it at all?
It had, you know, those green chilies that come in a can?
Okay.
That's chili.
Does that count?
Yes, that counts.
Okay, so it's chili.
If it has chili peppers in it, then it's chili.
Ha! Ha ha! And beans.
What if you have penguin?
Penguin chili?
Chili Willy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jay. You're cut off.
I just explained my dad jokes.
I'm so sorry.
The millennials have no idea what any of that is.
No, they don't.
But they have Google, so it's okay.
You might as well talk about the Frito Bandito.
Twinkie the Kid.
Yeah. And on that note.
On that note, folks, before we dork you all to death, we will close with a, same squirrel time, same squirrel channel.
Yep. We're out of here.
All right.
Bye.
Night, have a great week, everybody. Good night.